ADP knows anything you hear, anything you don't hear, anything you kinda heard, anything you weren't supposed to hear and now have to pretend like you didn't, can change the world of work. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
President Trump refuses to cooperate with the House of Representatives on impeachment until there is a vote on the House floor authorizing such an inquiry. Democrats say this could be another reason for impeaching Donald Trump for obstructing Congress. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal, here with Kyle Peterson.
Hello.
How are you,
hello.
Kyle? And Kim Strassel, as usual. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Paul.
So dramatic step by the White House counsel Pat Cipollone, sending an expansive letter to Speaker Pelosi and certain committee chairs, saying that the current investigation by the House, which was declared by Speaker Pelosi almost 3 weeks ago, is not a constitutionally valid investigation because, among other reasons, it has not been authorized by a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives, and therefore the administration will provide no witnesses, no testimony, and no documents to the committee requests that are piling up for the administration related to the Ukraine phone call that Donald Trump made with the Ukrainian president in July. You surprised at all by this, Kim? Because we had gotten word that this was coming, but I guess I'm surprised at the length and it's quite a sophisticated letter in legal terms.
It is, and it lays out three arguments. I think the first one, probably just for the immediate discussion, is the most valid, in that they make the case that because the House has not held a vote to engage in a formal impeachment inquiry and laid out all the rules of the road that usually come with that, that the White House is being denied some very basic due process privileges, like the ability to cross-examine witnesses, the ability to call witnesses, the ability to see transcripts of testimony, to have access to evidence. And I do think that if this goes to a court setting, that those were really the kind of arguments laid out in the letter that are designed to say to a judge, this is what's problematic with this situation and why we're not complying. But it also makes the case that broadly, two broader arguments, one, that this would reverse the results of the election, and two, that there is no legitimate basis for it and that the president has done nothing wrong.
Yeah, those final two, in my view, are not going to carry with a court because the House of Representatives under the Constitution can define high crimes and misdemeanors more or less as it wants. And there is also a very little explicitly mentioned in the Constitution about how the House can comport itself on impeachment. It can pretty much do what it wants if you just read the plain text of the Constitution. But there is a traditional process by which the House has behaved in the past on impeachments, including Richard Nixon's when Democrats were in charge and Bill Clinton's when Republicans were in charge. And those traditions will have some bearing on, no doubt, on judges, because it's a process, a kind of common law, if you will, that has developed in this process over the years, and judges tend to take that into consideration when they're hearing disputes. So it is important. And for the record here, Kyle, let me go through the past. That's House Resolution 803 on February 4th, 1974, an authorization by the House of Representatives to begin impeachment inquiry into Richard Nixon, 410-4. That passed the House. So huge majorities of both parties. On October 8th, 1998, an impeachment inquiry to a resolution, H.R. 581, to start a inquiry into Bill Clinton. 258 to 176 it passed, with 31 Democrats voting for it. Another bipartisan resolution. And, of course, the resolutions and the ultimate impeachment votes in both both cases were more partisan. But nonetheless, getting things started, getting things moving, authorizing the Judiciary Committee to be the focus, the sole focus of impeachment, and giving the minority certain rights to subpoenas and access to information is crucial, was crucial to both of those inquiries. None of that has held in this case so far.
Right. And I mean, I think I read this letter as the White House going on offense and trying to win the game of perceptions over whether this inquiry is being held in a fair manner. And that's where I think they're on the strongest ground. I mean, as you say, there were votes to authorize the impeachment inquiries in the Nixon and Clinton cases. And the majority gave the minority party chairman some subpoena power. I mean, why Nancy Pelosi in Politico's latest count, she has 227 Democrats who are either for impeachment or for an impeachment inquiry on the record. So why she does not want to hold a vote authorizing it in response to this letter? I mean, one thought is maybe she doesn't want to put moderates in her party who are in red districts at risk in the 2020 election. Another thought is that if she held that kind of a vote, it would be basically all Democrats voting to authorize the inquiry and no Republicans voting to authorize the inquiry, which would undermine the basis for moving forward with it, at least in terms of public perception anyway. What's interesting about the letter from the White House, though, is, I mean, at least the way I read it, it goes beyond that. It raises those questions, and then it also says there's no legitimate basis for impeachment inquiry. It says the call with President Zelensky of Ukraine was completely appropriate. The president did nothing wrong. There's no basis for an impeachment inquiry, which at least as I read it suggests that the White House is saying even if there were a vote to authorize the inquiry, they wouldn't cooperate. Either anyway.
Well, those questions explicitly were asked of a White House senior administration official at the White House, Kim, on Tuesday. And that official did not commit himself or herself either way on that question. Said, we don't want to get into hypotheticals. We'll see once that comes. I think they're on much weaker legal territory myself if there is a vote to authorize and they still don't cooperate in any respect. I think that then becomes much more problematic for the White House. I think they'll lose. I mean, they can certainly litigate it for a long time, but I think the chances that they'll lose in those circumstances are they really do increase.
I totally agree with that because, again, if you just look at the clear text of the Constitution, it's pretty sweeping. It says that the House has the full power of impeachment. I think, as you say, kind of common law procedures over the time and the history of how impeachment has been done before gives the White House some advantage if this goes to court. We don't know. This is uncharted legal territory, as so many things are these days, given the animosity between the Trump administration and House of Democrats. But I think that if there were indeed a vote, it'd be very hard for them to argue in court. And so this, what this does from a practical perspective, just in the near term, is this really does throw the ball back in Pelosi's court, because either way, it looks as though this is going to go to court. That's something that can tend to take months or even years to wind through a process. And that, I believe, has to also be a calculation on the White House's part, which is that the closer we get to an election, I think the more Americans are going to wonder why we're engaged in an impeachment proceeding. Let's just have a vote again to see who's going to go in the White House. And I think that to the extent that they can delay this, they're hoping to. And I think that conversely, that's why Democrats have been rushing so fast to try to get this done.
We're talking about the Congress versus President Trump on the impeachment inquiry, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Kim Strassel and Kyle Peterson. And Kim, where Kim left off was pointing out that this, Kyle, this puts the issue back into Nancy Pelosi's court. And they can proceed in a couple of ways here, right? They could say, this is just more signs of presidential obstruction. It's another article of impeachment. They'll write the article that says the president's not cooperating, and therefore this is another grounds to impeach him and move ahead with that. On the other hand, she could have a vote. She could decide to have the vote that would no doubt prevail. It might even get some Republicans. I don't know, with the way the polls are moving. And they're going to get Justin Amash, the former Republican independent in Michigan. They might get Will Hurd of Texas, who's not running for re-election. Again, they could get some. But if it is a highly partisan vote, that would tend to hurt her cause of persuasion of the Republicans that they would like to get to support impeachment. I guess those are the two big questions for her. How does she want to proceed? We don't know how she will. I don't understand if, from their own point of view, if they want to persuade the country, why they just wouldn't have the vote and move ahead in regular order. If you're going to do something like impeach a president, then follow order. Don't give the White House this opening politically to say, see, you're not being fair. You're not allowing witnesses. You're doing everything in secret. We don't have access to the complete information. You're leaking selectively, which is what is happening now. Why do that if your goal is to persuade?
I mean, the only answers that I can think of are she wants to protect the moderates in her party, and she doesn't want the impeachment inquiry to be perceived as a highly partisan affair, even though people get that anyway. But having it on record in a vote like that would undermine the credibility of it. And that's the way I read this letter from the White House, is it's an attempt to delegitimize the impeachment inquiry before it really officially begins. I mean, they're looking at the polls. What you hear sometimes is that the polls say only Democrats have moved toward impeachment, which I don't think is quite true. So if you look at 538's aggregate of dozens of different polls, they've included both polls asking, do you favor impeaching and do you favor an inquiry? From late September, I mean, Democrats have gone up about 10 points, 72 to 82. Independents have gone up about 34 to 44. And Republicans have gone up about 9% to 14%.
Now, that's just for the inquiry.
That's for both. That's a mixed. They're mixing polls of do you support an inquiry and do you support impeachment to try to get a broad sense of public opinion. But that swing in the middle of independents is huge. And if you are the White House, you have to be worried about that, which, again, is why I think the letter is trying to undermine the idea of this impeachment authorization at all.
Kim, the other thing that the Nancy Pelosi did here is she wrested the investigation out of the hands of Jerry Nadler on the Judiciary Committee, and seems to have put most of the she said that six committees would be proceeding when she had her initial press conference. But in practice, Adam Schiff, the head of the Intelligence Committee, is driving the train here and doing most of the soliciting of witnesses and so on. And why is she doing that? Why put it in the hands of Schiff?
Well, this gets to, in my own opinion, why she's not holding an impeachment vote. I think part of it, as Kyle said, is that she doesn't want to subject her moderates to that vote. I think it would also be an embarrassment. Not only would she not really get any Republicans, but she still has almost 10 of her own members who are not in favor of an impeachment inquiry. These are folks from very vulnerable districts that have not come out in favor of this.
Couldn't she squeeze them and just say, look, if they've been quiet so far, but if it comes to a vote, I mean, they're going to have to choose. And I think most of them would come around. That would be my view.
No, I agree with that. So, but here's, I think, the additional reason why she's not holding a vote is because right now she likes the process the way it is, just in terms of political benefit, meaning that she's got six committees that are still investigating this wide array of things with a subpoena cannons going out. So not only does she get all the headlines that are surrounding the Ukraine Trump conversation, but just ongoing things about Trump's taxes and Stormy Daniels and campaign finance. So it creates this storm cloud over the administration. I think that she also doesn't want to actually have to sit down, therefore, and define an area of inquiry for the impeachment and narrow it and settle on one thing. And then finally, to your point, were she to go ahead, the traditional process would hand this back to the Judiciary Committee, to Jerry Nadler. And I think there's an enormous benefit at the moment for Democrats in holding this in the intelligence community, because it gives Adam Schiff the right to claim that everything can be secret because we're dealing with an intelligence whistleblower, etc. And of course, you know, the other news of this week is that they're actually debating having this whistleblower testify at some remote location and in disguise, even from the Republican members, supposedly to protect their identity. But I mean, I guess that's their reason. But at a certain point, I think the public is going to demand a little bit of transparency. But this is, they can kind of do what they want in a less open fashion under the process she has set up now.
Well, but not without political costs. I mean, I think
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, in my view, and let's take the example of what happened last week. Kurt Volker, the former envoy, since resigned. He was an envoy to Ukraine. He has resigned, but he was brought up to testify for 7 hours in closed session. The committee Democrats released texts of his communications with various people that Volker had provided, that gave a selective reading of the sense that there was a quid pro quo between the administration and Ukraine, saying we'll hold back aid for you until you agree to investigate corruption and Joe Biden. We now know that was the first impression. That was the way the press went with the story initially. Republicans said, wait a minute, we were there too. And Volker, in his initial statement, basically said, I was not under any understanding of a quid pro quo, Kyle. And then that comes out later. And again, we still don't even have, I don't believe, the entire transcript of Volker's testimony. If you're doing something as significant as impeaching a president, which would oust him, you know, a year before an election or at any time in an administration, I mean, don't you have at least the obligation to release the witness transcripts and testimony so people can make up their own minds what he said?
Right. And in the absence of that transparency, a lot of this stuff is being litigated in the press by unnamed sources that you have to take on their own word. So I'll add two examples to that. So the Washington Examiner has a report citing three separate sources saying that the Intelligence Community Inspector General who testified told Congress that the whistleblower had a professional relationship with one of the 2020 candidates. You know, boy, wouldn't it be nice to know if that were true. I mean, that doesn't necessarily delegitimize everything that the whistleblower says or everything that his whistleblowing brings to light. But, you know, people ought to be able to make up their own mind on that.
And then just as a point, the Inspector General also testified in closed session.
Right, right. And then a second is there's been some reporting, I think it was two Ukrainian sources and one U.S. source told BuzzFeed that at the time of President Trump's call with the Ukrainian president, the Ukrainian officials did not even realize that the U.S. aid to Ukraine had been put on hold. The sub-headline of the story says that they were checking their bank account thinking it was going to show up any day now. Again, I mean, wouldn't it be really great to know if that were actually the case, since what we're talking about here is this potential quid pro quo.
Well, in particular, because the denial of aid is a much more significant event, in my view, in terms of using threats of American power and foreign policy, Kim, to squeeze a foreign a president, a foreign government, as opposed to just a verbal request.
Well, right. That is the center of the claim here, is that there was a quid pro quo or pressure exerted by Trump by withholding this aid. And look to that point, and again, why it would be incredibly important to see Volker's full testimony is that, you know, reports are that he said that he had not informed the Ukrainians about the hold on the aid. And so that would make sense that they did not know. And it does put the entire telephone conversation in a very different light. It's a central and key fact. So, and by the way, the fact that they are proceeding in the way that they are too is also making it harder for everyone to get information. Again, we don't know if the White House would be cooperating anymore if they had had an informal impeachment vote, but if inquiry vote. But assuming that Pat Cipollone, you take him at his word that that's what they are requiring have happen here, maybe we'd be hearing from the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, this week. Maybe we'd be hearing from the prior American ambassador to the Ukraine, both of whom were scheduled to testify, but because of the way that this is being handled, they've been barred by the State Department and White House from attending.
It's also interesting to me that most of the press corps doesn't want to credit any of these arguments by the White House, even as serious arguments, even despite the precedence of the Nixon and the Clinton impeachments. And I note that the Washington Post editorial said, well, if you believe the White House argument that you have to have a vote on impeachment, then the White House would never have to cooperate because with a Congress, even on routine oversight, because, oh, it would just always say you've never had an impeachment vote. Well, we know that that's not true. And because, in fact, the White House says explicitly, as long as you're impeaching, as long as you're soliciting things which you say explicitly are for impeachment, as opposed to normal oversight in the cause of legislation, potential legislation, then we don't have to cooperate unless you have an impeachment inquiry. But if this is just, but once you decide, okay, we're going to confine what we're asking for regarding impeachment to an impeachment inquiry, but you're doing other kinds of oversight for other reasons, well, then we'll negotiate with you about those other kinds of oversight. So it's the failure even to take any of this seriously on separation of powers and process that I think is a failure of the press. And I would say the pro-impeachment press, rather than sitting back and waiting and saying, look, let's look at the evidence. Let's look at, let's have a, you want to impeach Trump? Okay, you have your constitutional right. But let's look at, let's conduct it openly, submit the evidence, subject the evidence to public scrutiny and a cross-examination, and let's see where we go.
Well, I would also just, my other, as an aside, a fun thing I've enjoyed watching is the press all cheer Democratic plans to interview this whistleblower in secret. You know, the press that's supposed to be about government transparency and
what
the
was
one
that?
That worries about
what was that stuff about dying democracy in dying in darkness?
Yeah,
I was going to point
exactly.
that out. Yeah. well, Kim, what do you think the Pelosi will do? Will she will she have a vote on the House floor that will undercut a big part of the White House objection to cooperating, or will they turn this into another impeachment article?
Look, I think it's too soon to know, because one other thing that I believe is weighing on Nancy Pelosi and why she hasn't had a vote is that I think she's at least trying to give herself the room, if she thinks it's better, to in the end censor the president rather than hold an impeachment vote. I don't think that that's likely to happen. I think that they're on a freight train headed a certain direction. But I think she was just trying to hold that in a back pocket. And so we'll see. She's basically been dared by the White House, do this, and we'll see what happens the rest of this week.
If Kim and Kyle, if she decides we're going to hold the censure vote instead of an actual impeachment vote, heads are going to explode all over progressive America. And the New York Times and the Washington Post and MSNBC are going to just, they'll throw a fit.
Which is one reason to think that that's unlikely. And another is her statement yesterday. So just to quote her statement in response to the White House letter yesterday, quote, "This letter is manifestly wrong and is simply another unlawful attempt to hide the facts of the Trump administration's brazen efforts to pressure foreign powers to intervene in the 2020 elections." I mean, you know, politicians can change their tune pretty fast, but that does not sound like she intends to hold an authorization inquiry vote. That sounds like full steam ahead.
All right. Here we are. It's going to be all impeachment all the time, or most of the time, for weeks ahead. We'll try to bring you as much of the try to put it into as much context for you as possible. You're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back later in the week with another edition. Thank you all for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.